Evening, everybody. Merry Christmas. My name is Tom. I'm one of the leaders here at One Harbor, and right off the bat, we want to apologize that there's not enough seating for everyone. We really did not expect a crowd like this, and we have plans afoot to fix those kind of problems in the future, and the operative word is we have plans afoot. Whether God's going to endorse those plans, we're not sure, but we'll see over the next few months with that. So if you're here tonight, whether you're a partner, this is your regular place of attendance, or you're a guest, we want to say welcome, and we hope we put Jesus on display just in some form or shape for you tonight. And especially those of you who perhaps don't know Jesus, maybe you got tricked by grandma to be here, or you know that someone's going to pay for your college, you just got to go to church at Christmas. So if that's you tonight, well done for taking on that burden. But for you especially, we hope we put on display and explain clearly what Christmas is really about, because it's about this Jesus who died for us. We heard that in the passage read from Isaiah. It is about this new life that is available to us that guarantees us life into eternity, not just the 60, 70, 80 years that we get on this earth, but after this earth, there is a life to be lived, and we're going to try and do our best to tell you about that tonight. So, welcome. So, Christmas, man, I was just working it out today. It didn't take long to work out. This is my 62nd Christmas that I've experienced, and I can remember some of them right back to, I was born in a place called Rhodesia, which is called Zimbabwe now, and I can remember right back to some of those little dressing gown, little plastic slippers, and the little trick-or-train thing going around the Christmas tree, and then these gifts. One of my most favorite gifts, and maybe it was a prophetic thing for the future of my life, was a little Jeep, a little tin kind of Jeep that you could sit in and pedal. And it wasn't, you know, it was a Willys Jeep, those old Second World War ones. And I can remember so many adventures with that thing, taking it apart, putting it back together. And here I am, living in America, just down the road from Lejeune. Maybe that was prophetic. I don't know. And I'm not hinting for a Willys Jeep. They are still cool, but I think they're too much work at the age they would be now. So one thing I noticed about Christmas, some of the things just never change. But the one thing I notice the most each year is how soon Christmas comes around and how quick everything happens. So I noticed this year, 2018, that before Thanksgiving was over, Christmas decorations were already in shop windows. There were adverts for trees and all sorts of stuff. And for me, that felt like sacrilegious. Let us do our Thanksgiving well first before you pile on us all this other stuff. Let's thank God for what He's done in this nation and the amazing fruit that this nation has, because it's honored God over the years. But before that was over, Christmas is bearing down on us, and all the Black Fridays and Pink Sundays and all the other stuff that comes along with that. It's just like huge. And then it's gone, just like when I was a kid, there was a time frame. And in that time frame, it was connected to something, a song or something. I think it was 11 days. But on the 11th day of Christmas, you had to take down the tree, all the lights and all that kind of stuff. I asked my wife today, how quick do we take down all our stuff? She said, the next day, it's gone. So even in my home, things are changing. But there are some unchanging things about Christmas we want to talk about tonight, just a little bit. This is my plan, to talk shortly about one story. And then depending on where that lands, I want to show you a little video. It's about 7 minutes long. There's some unchanging things about Christmas. It's not the tree, it's not the lights, it's not the presents. There's some things that are much more profound and much more important and much more unchanging. And this is a good moment to remind ourselves of that. And I want to tell you, for even me to be reminded of that. You've got to know, as a pastor, if I've preached like 40 or 50 Christmases over the year, what do you say in 2019? What, you know, everyone knows all the stories, the baby in a manger and all the rest of it. And I found reading this story just stirred my own faith afresh and took me to a new place with Him again. And so I hope you find it helpful tonight. So Lord Jesus, take Your word, bless it to our lives. We thank You for each person in this place. Thank You for those who know You. There's some who've walked with You in this room for many, 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 many years and still love You passionately. There's some who are new to the kingdom, and there's others who are still looking and just having a dig around to see what is this all about. Won't You be with all of us, each and every one, we pray in Jesus' name. So, we're going to read this passage of Scripture, well-known story. It's in Luke chapter 2 from verse 8. It's about 20 verses, but I'll try and read it with a suave accent so you can keep listening. And in the same region, this is talking about where Jesus was born, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. It's a little obvious what else would shepherds do, but anyway. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." So that includes everyone in this room, for all the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to be to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen as it had been told them. So here we're going to talk a little bit about the shepherds, and I think we find ourselves in this own story. You'll see as we go along. So this is scandalous, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is born in a little town called Bethlehem. That's scandalous enough, but in the Old Testament it was prophesied that's going to happen, so God keeps his word and he does that. But the first people that the angels go to tell this good news is a bunch of shepherds. And you may think, well, shepherds, who cares? But actually, you got to know a little bit about shepherds in those days. And I'm obviously going to tell you a little bit about that. So shepherds were the lowest of the low. And as I was reading this story again and I knew that, I was so overcome by that, because in this room, there's people of different state and different stature and different income. And some of you might be generals or admirals or whatever the case might be. Some of you are just an apprentice at a mechanic shop and you earn $5 an hour. And some of you earn hundreds of thousands a month or whatever the case might be. But if God goes first to the shepherds, then it means it includes every single one of us in this room, including me. He goes to the lowest of the low. There's some things they could not do as a shepherd. You could not hold public office. So thank heavens the mayor of Swansbury comes to our church. He's not a shepherd, otherwise he couldn't be the mayor. You could not give evidence in court. Just didn't trust you. You could not sell milk, lambs, kids, because they also looked after goats, wool, or meat to anybody, because they did not trust you. They just assumed you stole it from the owner of the sheep, and because you're a thief, I'm not going to help you in your enterprise. And it was really hard for them, because the way they got paid was in sheep. So I get paid for working out in the desert for 30 days in sheep, and then when I try and sell them so I can buy my wife a great Christmas present or that girl I'm getting engaged to, a nice cool ring or something, I can't sell a thing. Because I'm the lowest of the earth, I'm the scum of the earth, and no one is going to trust me with anything. And if you go to the library in Alexandria, which you can't really do today, but in those days, this is what it says. "There is no more disreputable occupation than a shepherd. They cannot be trusted. They are brutish, thieving, deplorable men." And here's contextual. "And they prefer the company of animals and other men than they do the company of normal life." That's what was in a book in the library in Alexandria. But moments after Jesus' birth, verse 10 said this, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day, unto you shepherds this day, in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" That is amazing news, folks. That's amazing news for each one of us in this room. The angels didn't go to the pious, the elite, the religious. They went to the outcast. They went to me. They went to you. And that is unchanging about Christmas. Those who could not come to God, God came to them. And that's what Christmas is about. We can't get to God. We don't have enough goodness in us. We're filthy, really, in our sin. And so God says, okay, I'll make a plan. I will go down to them. This is good news for all of us. And if you've known this news for a long time, let it refresh your heart and create worship over this time. And so they're in the presence of his weightiness, his glory. It says his glory is all around them. Glory, when you talk of the glory of God, you're talking about all his characteristic traits, and it's like his presence in there, and it's heavy, it's weighty. You're aware of it. I mean, we're aware of God's glory here where we live. I mean, if you go and watch the sunsets during this time of the year, you see something of God's magnificence, his ability to create beauty and splendor, because he made all of that. And so you stand in the veranda and you watch and, oh my gosh, you see something of God's glory. You go down to the Sound in summer or the beautiful white beaches and, oh my gosh, God's glory. But this is the full weight of God's presence around it. This isn't a ho-hum little God. This is the God who is around them. And so there's a couple of things that happen, and I think they can happen for us as well. Number one, God exposes who they really are. When you're around the living God, you can't hide anymore. And in a room this size, and this includes me, I guarantee through the year there's been things we've hidden, and you know, you had that secret chocolate when you and your wife were on a diet, and you hid the paper somewhere, and then she finds it. Women just have this thing, you know, they like find the thing. All you laughed, you're guilty of that particular thing. Verse 9 says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And Morgan even prayed this in her prayer. We're going to go to families, but there's some families we don't want to go to. There's just stuff between us, and we don't like them. They don't like us. There's junk that's been going on for a long time. And then I think for those of us who know Jesus, and maybe even those who don't know Jesus, we're scared to get close to God. We'll go to church, we'll listen to a preach, we'll do some worship in the car, but we don't take time out to listen to him because it could be terrifying what he might say to us. He exposes who we really are. And folks, we most of us in this room, I guess, would think we're pretty good people. I could hazard a guess. I doubt there's an axe murderer sitting in here tonight. We do have security just in case that is here. And we think we're good because we compare ourselves to others. So I do this. I play basketball with my grandkids and I win. I'm pretty good. Do a little bit of traveling, a little bit of carrying. But I'm grandpa. I pay for stuff. You just ignore that, you know. So I'm pretty good. I beat my grandson in Australia when we were there recently, and he's a really good player in the team that he's on. He's the key guy. But while we're playing out in the backyard, guess who walked in? Michael Jordan, fourth greatest player from Chapel Hill University. Now, in comparison to him, I am totally, completely pathetic. We can think we're pretty good, but then Jesus at Christmas walks into our lives and we get to realize, oh my gosh, I have some issues. I have some areas that need the touch of a living God on my life. And so he walks into the shepherd's life. We encounter a holy God, a self-sustaining God. He's not an invention of mankind. He's not created, he's just been there forever. And when we, mortal human beings, encounter him, we suddenly realize, oh my gosh, we have need of you. And thank you for coming at Christmas. Thank you that you come to change us and you come to love on us. Thank you that you accept us just as we are. I want everyone of us in this room to know tonight, we are accepted just as he is. Some of us in this room don't even accept ourselves. And then we're concerned about what other people think of us and Snapchat and all that stuff. He loves us. He accepts us. That's what Christmas is about. That's never going to change. Isaiah says this in chapter 6, says, and the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. I mean, this is Isaiah being terrified, the great prophet. It says, and the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This is one of the prophets, and when he comes into God's presence, he's terrified. But he understands there's grace and kindness from this living God. So it's one thing to come into his presence and be terrified, but if there's no grace to love on us and care for us, then that is absolutely terrifying. But there is. Christmas tells us there's this grace, there's this love. Yes, he's terrifying, but he says, come to me. I'm going to make a way for you to come to me. I send my son Jesus. He'll be born, and the first guys I'm going to show him to the shepherds. John the Apostle, I mean, the great Apostle John. It's probably the book we hear most about through the year at any church or on the radio or whatever. In Revelations 1:17, he's an old man. He's in his 90s. He's walked with Jesus. He knows Jesus. And he says this, when I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. And then he says, get up. I've got something for you to do for me. Terrifying. The book of Revelation. God says, no, come on, get up, boy. My grace is sufficient for you in my presence. Encountering the living God exposes who we are. Luke 2:10 said this, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. This is amazing news right there. It's unchanging news. This is what it says. When we're in his presence, all our fears are driven out and they are replaced with joy. I don't know what your year's been like, 2018. It's been a tough year in this area. We've still had people not living in their homes, and their homes are wrecked, and we've had people in the church just disappear. I don't know if they got blown away in the wind or we don't know. We don't know what's happened. Tough year. But when we come into his presence, when we know him, that fear and that angst is replaced with the joy of the Lord. That's unchanging. Every minute of every day, that can be our portion. It's unchanging. It's one of the things of Christmas that will never change. Nothing is hidden from him. His wrath could come upon us because he knows all things, folks. Every thought you've had this year, good ones, bad ones, in-between ones, he knows them all. And yet he draws close to us. And when we see him, we're full of fear. And then he says, no. I'm coming with grace and kindness. Receive me. And then John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son, listen to this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Didn't come to condemn us, come to save us. Christmas time, we can even do a little condemnation. You know, we can say to the kids like, hey, if you don't behave, if you don't make up your bed, if you don't wash the dishes or whatever the thing is in your home, I don't think Santa's coming. Oh, I saw a little nudging and stuff going on around the room. We have to be careful that what we teach our kids, that my love for you and my care for you is based on your performance. Where God's love for us and care for us, unchanging, is not based on our performance. It's based on the performance of Jesus. One of the things we used to do in our family, is just a little parenting tip, is we didn't care what kind of year our kids had had. Well, I mean, we cared. My son broke a TV once. He had a little bouncy ball. I said, don't throw that ball in the house. And guess what he did? His little sin nature took the thing and he threw it. Doing, doing, doing. Hit a vase full of water, tipped over. This is in Africa, so we had those old big TVs still. And fell down into the back of it and just smoked. And busted TV right there. So I said, boy, I did speak to you. This is disobedience. And about an hour later, I said, hey, let's get in the car. I went downtown, and I bought him some really cool track shoes. Not to reward him or anything. He's just my boy. I want to love on him. Just because he broke a TV, do I stop loving on him? Sure, it's got to be discipled and taught to be obedient. But that does not change our love for each other. And it does not change this king's love for us as well. See, Jesus is like this boat. He's like this life raft in a world that's full of judgment, death, condemnation, and destruction. And in the midst of all that mess, here's this king. And we're included because none of us are lower than those shepherds. If he went to them, he's coming to us as well. He has made a way. He's made a way, folks, we could not make ourselves. There's going to be good news. I don't know. Some of you are going to open your stuff tonight. There's going to be good news. And I open it, and there's that new set of Nikes that you need to start running and lose some weight. And your kid's like, there's that radio-controlled model of Moses or something. I don't know what the latest thing is. By this time next week, the joy of that will have been gone already. It passes. It passes. But the good news of everlasting joy will still be just as fresh this time next week and the week after and the week after and the year after. That's what's unchanging about Christmas. The good news is unchanging. The great joy I can experience each and every day, regardless of our circumstances, it's unchanging. It doesn't only happen at Christmas. I can have that every minute of every day of my life. There's that which is passing. There's that which is unchanging. Christmas is about the unchanging. Jesus drives out fear, and in its place, he rams in amazing joy, amazing peace. He did not come to condemn us, but he came to save us from condemnation. Number three, and there's only 4 points. Trusting God, trusting his word, trusting what he says. Luke 2:15 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. I mean, this is a pretty radical thing they're doing. They don't know where the baby is or anything like that. I guess it was a small town. They'd soon find out. So the angel says some stuff. He says what God has to say, repeats God's words, and they break out of the ho-hum everyday Christianity that many of us might be living in. Honestly, folks, and if you're a visitor, I'm just being totally honest, you know, if you don't know Jesus. Some days, Christianity, for some people, for many people, seems boring. It seems everyday-ish, and it's a bit sort of blasé. It loses its color. And the shepherds, I mean, their routine must have been mind-numbing. Take the sheep out to eat. Make sure they got water. Help the babies come out. Kill the ones that need to be eaten. Etc. In the same day, over, same season, over and over again. And then the angels show up. God's presence is everywhere, and the angels speak something of God's truth. And they get up, and they go to Bethlehem. This is the attitude. The Lord said it, let's go do it. You've got to trust in what God says. God promised thousands and thousands of years ago, he'll send a Savior. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, because God kept his word. The Lord said it, let's see it, let's do it. We've got to trust God's word. If you believe someone, that someone says something, then it results in action. If I say, son, my grandkids I'll see in a bit, Malachi, in my jacket pocket, there is a ticket to the latest Marvel movie. Now, if he believes me, guess what he does? Could be eating at the table. It could be opening some other, you know, the radio-controlled Moses thing or whatever the case is. He's to the room, rips, where's Pops' jacket? Which pocket? If we believe God, there's action that comes from believing. Husband and wife. Do you believe what God says about marriage? Singles? Do you believe what God's word says about single people? Says they're the most powerful group in the life of the church. They've got a little bit of money, a bit of a junky car, but you haven't got responsibilities like wife, house, husband, kids, garden, dogs, and cats, and you can rock the world for Jesus. Do you believe Jesus, Christmas 2018? Youth. A whole lot of stuff God says in his word about you. And older folks, I don't know where that line is for older, but I'll step into your zone just for tonight. I'm stepping out in 2 seconds. Older folks, our days are not over serving the King. We don't have to sit in a corner just knitting booties for someone in a hospital. Now listen, if that is your call to knit booties for ladies in the hospital having babies, you do it with all your might. We will buy you some wool if you want. If that's your call. But if that's what culture has pushed you to be, just like you don't count anymore, go sit in the corner and look after the kids when we want to go out on a date. You haven't believed what God says until our last breath. The way we die well is we serve the King passionately as best as we can, even if it's in a wheelchair and on crutches, till we breathe out our last breath, open our eyes, and there He is. Oh my gosh! Do you believe what God says? Marriage, parenting, about any aspect of life. Shepherds believed, made them do something. When they go find Jesus, it was sacrificial, it was risky, they needed faith, and there was great reward. I mean, look who they hang out. They're hanging out with the wise men, hanging out with Mary. Mary even took what happened with them and treasured that in her heart. Got in her little journal on her iPhone there. Shepherds rocked up, a couple of sheep and an ugly-looking goat, but anyway. And then lastly, daily life. Luke 2:20 says, and the shepherds returned, so they go back after acting out on what God spoke about. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. That's so interesting, that's included. Glorifying for all they'd heard and seen as it had been told them. Oh, there's this joy of when we live obediently to all that God has for us. And you go, I'm like, wow, I lived in this. God spoke about it and it's come to pass. What an adventure. I mean, if there'd been TV and all that stuff those days, they would have been on CNN and BBC and I don't know, whatever. But they were a little different. They return and turn to their sheep. It says, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. Oh, I'll read that to you in a moment. This is what had not changed for them. They'd been changed inside. Externally, there's not much changing, and this is what didn't change. Their social standing, nothing changed. They could not go and give evidence at court. They could not sell to anyone. They were just not trusted. But there's always a but around Christmas. There's always this amazing moment in our lives. And I've taught the church here the law of but. What comes before a but goes away, and what comes after the but. So the shepherd could say, I haven't changed. I'm still a scumbag by what everyone thinks. But I've encountered the living God. Now that doesn't matter anymore. They encounter the living God. That is enough. No matter who we are in our station in life. They've had this injection of joy. It's like they've had some kind of transplant. They've been renewed. The Bible says we get renewed when we meet Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Our spirit comes alive. Will they have highs and lows? Absolutely. And in the highs, we have great joy. And in the lows, we have great joy because the unchanging King is still our portion. Regardless of life circumstances, we still have joy because of what happened at Christmas. And some of you in this room probably had really hard stuff this year. Home, job. Maybe you engaged and that got broken off. Maybe you're married and a divorce took place, or someone in your family died. Those are heavy, weighty issues. And Christmas promises us that even in the midst of that, we can know His joy. It may mean we go into a room on our own and just spend a little time with Him. And my heart is so sore. My husband's not here this year. My kids have been deployed somewhere overseas, and I so miss them, and I worry about their safety. But in that moment, in His presence, you can still find great joy. God has come to us and brought joy. Some of us think, man, once I get my life to where I want it, then I'll have great joy. I got news for you. I'm old enough to let you know, don't work like that. Get the right house, right beach view, the right boat, the jet ski is a little added bonus, the right looking wife, Harley in the garage, the right job, the right rank. I will have fullness of joy. No, you never will. Because you'll get to that and you'll notice, hey, my neighbor's got an airplane. Oh my gosh, I'm not so joyful. You're laughing because you know this is true. It's the wrong order. We'll get our lives sorted, then I'll have joy. It's the wrong order. I encounter the living God, and regardless of my station and who I am in life, I have joy. That's Christmas. It's right there in the story. We have gratitude that is God-shaped, shaped by God. He shapes every aspect of our life. He shapes every relationship. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." So we're being transformed into His image, and it says this, "One degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." And you all know this, folks. If you got on a plane to fly to, let's say you're going to the Bahamas for your Christmas deal. If that thing is 1 degree off, you are not going to get to the Bahamas. You're going to land up in Moscow, which is having its worst winter ever. 1 degree. And he promises in that passage, just like the shepherds, we will be changed 1 degree at a time. So in 2018, some of you, those of you I know in our congregation, I've watched you. Some of you have changed by 3 degrees, some of you by one, some by 0.01 of a degree, and that's been good. Some of you have gone back a little bit. Where are you going? Moscow? We're not sure at the moment. We're going to help you next year. And in Jesus dying on the cross, in Him coming, being born, and eventually dying on the cross, He gives us these course adjustment tools. Gives us His Word. 66 books that He has written through the anointing and through the instruction through men. And in those books, there's these navigation rules, or not rules like laws, but just information and et cetera, et cetera. If you're a single guy, this is how you treat ladies with respect, et cetera, et cetera. We have prayer. It's a navigation tool He's given to us. Helps us change 1 degree. My favorite one outside of the Word one is community. We have community. When we come to know Jesus, we're not out there on our own. The shepherds, it was a community of shepherds. And then they come into a bigger community when they stand around the crib or the house where Jesus was. It's all about community. God is a community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when we're in community, and so I'm going down the road and I'm not doing well, Johnny or one of the other elders or someone else in the life of the church, because anyone can come talk to any leader at our church. Say, "Hey, Tom, man. What's happened to your manners? You're so rude nowadays to people. Are you having a hard time? Maybe you're not noticing, but it's pretty foul and stinky." Oh, of course, correction. Thank you, brother, for helping me. Thank you for bringing the moment of Christmas right into my life, this very moment. We have course correction, unchanging, community. And then we have a God that daily I can come into His presence and enjoy Him. So many things in your Christmas this year will pass, but I've tried to tell you from God's Word what will not pass. It'll be there the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And if you don't know Jesus, that's the best gift that God ever gave, was His Son. And our best gift as a church is to say, come on, open your heart to Him. Draw near to Him. Trust Him. We'll walk together next year.